Wow, I hated this film.
God, it was so bad.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're joined by returning guests Byron Miller, Ron Bauman, and Tony Miller. We all sit down to watch God's Not Dead 2, and oh my God, everybody, it's so much worse than you think.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Ugh.
And my other co-host, Molly Glover.
He's surely alive.
God is not dead. He's surely alive. We are joined right now by our fantastic and long-suffering friends. At least for the last 2 hours, they've been suffering. We have three returning guests. We have Byron Miller.
Yeah.
Hi,
Byron. We have Ron Bauman.
Yay, persecution porn.
And we have Tony Miller.
Preaching to the chorus, hallelujah.
And we have just finished. I don't know if you listened last year. I'll definitely do a link when we put up this episode. Last year, Byron was not able to make it.
Lucky bastard.
Last year, Byron. But the other five of us watched God's Not Dead. And since last year, they have released a new film, God's Not Dead 2, because God still needs help.
God's Not Dead 2, the undeadening.
How did they put out the proven ending?
I think it's important to note that both last year and this year, no money went to these people.
Yo-ho'd it so hard.
We didn't financially support these people's movies. We don't need to expand any more than
next
that.
Next time your shitty friend tells you piracy is the worst thing ever, point this out. Ask him if this is a bad, if this is a crime. I don't think it is.
I want to feel guilty about stealing this movie, but I just, I can't do it.
The atheists really stole this movie.
I think the important thing here is, in a Ten Commandment kind of way, we didn't covet this movie at all.
No.
There was zero, I didn't zero coveting going on.
Oh,
yeah. So I want to just, I wrote a lot of notes, but the first one I wrote was, the opening credits to these movies is just a bunch of nobodies, punctuated by me saying, "Oh, that's too bad about him," as or her, as different names pop up. Ernie Hudson.
What were you doing?
Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh, what happened to your
career? Ray Wise.
Ray, yeah.
The Leland. Yeah. Palmer from Twin Peaks, the Laura Palmer's dad.
Who was the
super atheist villain of the movie?
He was Satan. Let's admit it. He was dope.
We saw a bunch of names.
He was Robin Gibbons.
Robin Gibbons.
Yeah.
Pat Boone. Did we already say?
Pat Boone.
Yeah, I didn't feel bad about Pat Boone.
There's a lot of Pat Boone.
Yeah, there was plenty of Pat Boone. So anyway. We watched the movie.
So it's too bad about all them.
We watched the movie and we got right up front. There's going to be no five questions. We've got a lot to unpack.
There's six of us too.
There's a lot to unpack. So maybe what we ought to do is we ought to maybe just go around the horn, and have everybody offer just a moment that really stuck with them.
Yeah.
A moment that stuck with them in this film. So I'm going to start, Byron. I'm going to start with you and say what stuck with you from this movie.
The parting shot stuck with me like a burn, like a crash. When the evil atheist lawyer's assistant says, "Well, and they prove the existence of Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
In 5 minutes of courtroom testimony, done.
Everyone glares at it like, "Fuck off!"
And they're
like,
historians,
don't point that out. We're gonna try to forget that bit of conclusive rhetoric. It was horrible. It was offensive in how bad it was.
Yes, that is true. Ron?
I'd like to point out that we are sitting in a house of atheists. We are, in fact, sitting in the studio of Geeks Without God.
We're in Deepwood Mott. This is the stronghold of House Glover.
Not a single motherfucking one of us had any objection to what the Christian teacher lady was doing.
It was falsely
persecuted. He's like, oh,
it's
poor
a
us,
slippery
poor
slope
us.
Straw man argument.
Yeah.
It was
absurdist bullshit.
It's true. We all were like, As soon as we saw it happen, and we're like, oh shit, this is the moment. Yep. We took a poll. It's like, does anybody here think that she did anything wrong? We're all like, nope.
Now, for those of you who are lucky enough to have never seen the film, we should be very clear. Her quote-unquote crime, her transgression was, in relation to Martin Luther King's, one of his speeches, one of her students asked her, is that not what Jesus said? And she said yes and quoted some scripture.
Yeah.
Perfectly viable.
And then related that scripture to what Martin Luther King had done.
And Gandhi.
It was actually an okay historical
comparison.
Yeah. Not a problem with it at all.
Well, we'll get
we
to that.
We were all religious figures. I mean, we're all religious people.
The, like, religious yeah. is a part of them.
Yeah.
All right. Yep, that's a good moment. Tony, what's your moment?
Okay, the Vesuvius of bullshit that I called out was during the actual quote in the courtroom proving the actual historicity of Jesus. And you know what? They never even mentioned Josephus, who's the only... I'm sorry.
You lost that bet.
Talking about the Gospels.
But no, they talked about the Gospels as some sort of forensic bullshit eyewitness territory testimony when we don't even know what the Gospels, who wrote it.
It is the biggest circular reasoning you've ever heard.
Tony. Yeah. He solves cold cases.
He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, which
it's already...
Oh my God! It wasn't even circular reasoning. It was just shit. It was utter shit. And the thing that really frustrates me about this is they brought up historians that were taken out of context. They were taking this one seminarian who actually came out later as agnostic because he couldn't compare the actual truth versus the fiction of the New Testament Gospels. And they just present this as, oh, now we've proven Jesus historically.
They brought up authors to show their books.
Yeah, oh yeah. Man, product placement. Sorry.
Yeah, it was great.
Keep going.
My moment, I'm next, was when they addressed the jury by calling the jury the touchstone of common sense. And I was just like, if the jury was the touchstone of common sense, then every time there was a rape trial and somebody said, she was asking for what is she wearing, they'd all go, that's not asking for being raped. What are you fucking stupid?
Also,
the jury is the touchstone of anything but common sense. Lawyers are looking for people who are going to ignore common sense and listen to them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the juries are the worst thing ever. I'm just like, that to me was a phrase that was completely out of touch with the way juries work in this country. So Nick, what's your moment?
So I have a couple things written down, but the one I'm going to use is destroy her in the name of tolerance and diversity. Which is something that actually gets said in the show as like the Ray Wise and his atheist school board lawyer of people who are just looking to take down Christianity.
It's when her lawyer decides to
her lawyer flips to like play the other side to goad her into
declaring her faith
and not apologizing for it, because it's so brave and courageous to be a Christian in America today.
It's really brave.
But just that's what atheists are out to do. They're going to destroy the Christianity in the name of diversity and tolerance.
Are there any Christians listening to this podcast?
Let's be clear. When was the last time a Christian got elected to office in this country?
It's been a while.
Well, I mean, are you talking like the highest office in the land? Like,
I know.
Like Congress?
Any.
Or maybe just local, kind of like city council.
What about a celebrity who was a Christian? I mean, come on.
Well, funny you should mention that.
Yeah.
Well, we know that there's not supposed to be a religious test for office, right? Well, clearly it's time to change that.
Right.
Yes. Molly, what was your moment?
So I think my favorite moment was during the voir dire when they were determining which people should or should not be on the jury based on their obvious Christian or obvious atheist leanings.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you guys know atheists hate Duck Dynasty?
It's true.
Hate veterans.
Yes, it's the veterans.
Did you know that atheists all go to Ivy League schools?
Yes.
Where they value intelligence. And then that dumb atheist used all his challenges, and oops, a minister got through, but he's testing his faith. What side will he be on?
What I find interesting in both these movies, though, because they use the same characters and the same actors, is that minister had an appendicitis attack after things got spilled on him. In both movies, shit happens to him all the time. He's like God's little kid.
He's Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think you called it right. I think he's Job. Yeah. I think I think that's his role in this.
Yeah.
Wah, yeah, you could be
right. He's got his happy Nigerian sunshine guy. Oh. And he's like, but God
is good.
I have a prayer. Your country does not kill people for no reason. Yay, America.
One of the most disgusting.
Things are great while I am here. When I go back home, my life will be forfeit.
Diego, you know, way.
One of the most disgusting things in the movie
Starburst.
Is the guy talking about the most basic. It's Pat Boone's character actually says it, I think.
Yes.
The most basic human right of all is the right to know Jesus.
The right to know Jesus.
Oh, it's the only right that matters. It's the only right that matters is the right to know Jesus.
Yeah. So as we bitch about this movie, I suppose what we failed to do is give you a plot synopsis, which will take me about, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds. So basically, there's a school teacher who's asked a question in class.
It's Clarissa. She's explaining it all, and it's Jesus.
Yeah, she's asked a question in class by a student, and the student asks about Jesus. The
student has atheist parents.
Yeah, the student's parents are atheists.
Fucking atheists.
They're not atheists, by the way. They are.
Oh, they're secular humanists.
Free thinkers.
They are free thinkers.
Coat, buzzword.
Dog whistle.
Yeah.
So the girl asks about Jesus in class. The teacher answers honestly. And the teacher is then prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Immediately.
They are like, either you apologize, or we are gonna throw the book at you.
Well, first the principal's like, did this happen? Tell me this didn't happen. And then she's like, no, that's how it went down. It's like, I was afraid you'd say that. Unfortunately, that means that you've broken the law. Another law is coming down upon you.
So anyway, they go through all this. They go to court. She's got a lawyer who she asks if he's a believer. So her lawyer is an atheist. But he defends her because he wants to win, and because who the hell knows? Because
he's got principles. He's a principled atheist, which was surprising.
Because he was the only principled atheist in the movie.
He's the lawyer that doesn't want to lose. That's a rarity, you know. There's not a lot of lawyers who don't want to lose, but that's his defining characteristic.
So
he doesn't want to lose.
So basically what happens is we go through a court case for like an hour and a fucking half, and she wins. That's the entire goddamn movie.
Somehow proving that Jesus was historically
existed,
real.
Yeah.
Was part of the plot.
Historically real.
They didn't. Now, let's give credit where they were due. Casting Ray Wise as the atheist villain lawyer was brilliant. Because you might as well have just had horns on his head, you know, and that wicked smile every time he thought he was winning a point.
He wasn't the devil. He was Lucifer Mistopheles, attorney at law. I don't know why you guys think he's the devil.
However, Robin Givens was a horrible choice.
Oh my god.
Because she's supposed to do wry smiles every time she's supposed to show how wicked her side is, and it was just, she was mugging for the camera.
Oh,
it's
you're
a coward.
Oh, every time the principal got, like, it was like, and did she admit that she was a Christian? She said that. The principal would smile like the Grinch.
Yeah.
Like this, like, delicious. You admitted your wrongdoing.
The lawyer,
you're a mean
like
one, principal
this,
given.
This movie could have benefited from taking all of the atheist type characters and just dialing it up to 11 and giving them like high pointed collars and smoky eyes and handlebar mustaches, maybe a sinister top
like
hat.
Like their dungeons did.
They all should have been sitting around a smoky table smoking cigarettes.
Ray Wise could have had actual horns. I was okay with that. Maybe twirl a tail.
That was Clarissa explained.
Didn't Ray Wise play a devil once? I'm going to look
that
up.
Melissa Joan Hart. Clarissa
explained
it.
Because I thought she was trying to do an impression of a depressed goldfish. She had one expression for 80% of the movie, and it was just sort of,
why am I being persecuted for my faith?
Yeah.
Why, Lord?
And that's the overall theme of the movie is, oh my God, won't someone think of the poor, poor Christians and how persecuted they are?
Yeah. Did you guys know that Christians are afraid to say the name Jesus?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually,
that's
she says that when she's on trial, right?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say the name Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's so frustrating about these films, among many things, the primary takeaway, though, is they flip the entire script of Christian privilege in our country, which is, and this is an evangelical talking point, which you don't really see this in mainline Protestants, even Catholics so much, even though they pay out millions of dollars for child-raping priests, is the evangelical talking point is they're under attack. And they have been under attack basically since Obama became
Oh, they've been under attack longer than that.
Well, not as public. True, but not as public as they're seeing a lot of momentum because of Obama in office. We see a lot of T pubs being sworn in because of fear of a competent black man. Anyway, but the whole
white men are losing supremacy.
Oh,
of course,
big time,
these people are
big time. Yeah. But it's the Christian victimization that is so frustrating. We see it writ large, and this film could have benefited by never having been made. The people who wrote it found in their houses and burned in the ground, salted that they live on.
I want them
on.
Dead. I want their families dead.
Oh,
I want their
man.
Dog burned.
Yeah.
Hey, I want my time back. I love you guys, but I hate this film.
I got to tell you honestly, they actually said this quote. You are most blessed when you are most hated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's out of,
you know?
I think it's what, out of Corinthians? Anyway.
Yes,
but
that sounds like all the love parts in Corinthians.
Oh,
it's,
no, it was
well,
John. It was John, that's right.
What are they, I mean, that's their historical angle. What do they have if they're not persecuted?
Man,
what are
already
they?
They're just like, they're banging on the Jews, man. You gotta take the Jews thing. Like, that's their whole deal.
By the way, everybody, I just want you to know that in the TV series Reaper, Ray Wise played the devil. So,
check
out RoboCop.
Divine.
Well, yeah, he was a
for sure.
He's a great evil guy.
For sure. Yeah, at the end, so this movie had the Newsboys in it.
Of course it did.
The Christian.
The
band.
Revamped Newsboys.
Right.
The new
because
Newsboys.
One of the original Newsboys was kicked out of the band for being an atheist or something, right? Wasn't
did
it?
Did not
well, he
see
left,
that coming.
He left the band and came out as an atheist.
Sure.
But,
sure. But so in this movie, like in the end of the first one, they urge the audience to take out your phone and text everyone you know.
Everyone you know.
That
spread
God's
the
not
movement.
Dead.
He's surely alive.
He's surely
God's
alive.
God's not dead. He's surely alive.
And they chant it out and they put it up on their big screens behind the band up on the stadium stage where they've got it packed to make it
teaching
look like it's full.
On the inside, growing like a lion.
I can't believe you remember that song. It was it was so totally unmemorable.
Well, actually, it was the most memorable thing in the whole piece of crap. We did do a shout out though, because as soon as the hashtag came up, we immediately started texting out. Got it.
Yeah.
But
last year we all texted Byron.
Eric Knight and Mark Lazarchek. I put out, God is not dead, he's surely alive. Eric Knight, quote, for reals. And Mark Lazarchek, suck a cock. You guys are great. Love
I texted Jeremy Stomberg and said, God is not dead, he's surely alive, and that he'd understand this later. And Jeremy was like, oh, I see. You're watching it now, I suppose. and then he said, and I suppose there's a scene where a character tells believers to text their friends this exact phrase.
That's because Jeremy saw me at work, and he's like, what are you doing tonight? And I explained what was happening. He goes, that sucks. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Not quite as eloquent as sucking cock, but
yeah.
Not everyone can be the poet,
Mark. The important thing, though, is that we were together.
Yeah, suffering together.
Oh my God, are we experiencing a sense of community like those goddamn Christians?
Oh, I'm sorry. And my 10th appearance on the show.
Hey, 10th.
I want to say congratulations to Byron, but I am so sorry.
Yeah,
you're not part of our club.
Yeah,
and everything,
yeah, Byron,
but
what's better, getting a bunch of texts at night randomly or being subjected to the movie?
Oh, the texts. Those were over and done in minutes.
It was a long 2 hours.
I think, there are so many things to be angry about with this movie.
Yes.
But the thing that, and not even as an atheist. See, here's the thing that
it's
makes
just
me.
Like a person who
here's
watches
here's the thing. That, yeah.
A person with eyes and ears.
As somebody who's a writer, it just makes me angry. Because
as a vertebrate,
I'm deeply offended.
There was a line where the student was like, they're like, you're a minor and your parents have said you cannot testify, and she goes, I can speak up for myself. It's like, that's literally not what we're discussing. Like,
yeah.
We just said the law says you can't.
The B-rolls were interesting because from the first movie, the Chinese guy. He finally converted after 147 questions, whatever. His father flew halfway around the world, basically bitch slap him and say, you're no longer my son because you proved your faith. And suddenly the questioner becomes, it's just a rondelet of masturbatory.
Like
reinforcing the idea that communist China is evil and our enemy.
Become a pastor and go and preach in China. Yay. Hallelujah.
I mean, it seems like that's
one.
There.
Yeah.
We'll get there in God's Not Dead 3. Yeah. The redhead is cured, is cured of cancer.
Somebody will get there,
one.
Not us.
Oh, yeah, that redhead and the journalist has her cancer cured.
They found a way to tie in everyone except Kevin Sorbo from the first one.
Because he died.
Into the second one.
He could have made an appearance like Obi-Wan.
I was expecting. Yeah. I'm not kidding. I was genuinely expecting some sort of ghostly, like, communication from beyond.
Oh, that would have been great.
To one of the atheists to be like, I was like you. I wore these chains in life.
Tim, we made a bet.
We did make a bet.
You get to say it.
I told you so.
Thank you.
Yes.
They didn't hook up.
Our bet was that was whether or not the lawyer and the teacher were going to hook up.
Oh, four of us also lost. There was no deathbed conversion.
Yeah.
Ron and Tim were right. There was
no deathbed conversion. The end of the first one ends with Kevin Sorbo's deathbed conversion.
Which, Christians, that's like their big jack-off moment.
I can admit that I did not make this prediction while we were watching the film, although I was reasonably certain that the end of the film was going to be a celebration on the courtroom stairs.
Mm. Oh, well,
We thought fundraiser for her legal fees.
Yeah.
But without the deathbed confession, this was not as strong a movie.
And you didn't even see the first one.
I can
tell you nailed it,
To be fair to the producers, I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart from putting at least a 3-song, 12-minute segment of carolers coming in and singing because we could fast-forward.
Yeah.
It was 12 minutes we didn't have to watch.
Thank you, Nick Glover. I love you, man.
I'm willing to make people sit through 2 hours of religious trash film, but I draw the line at religious music being played in my house. That's what the line is.
How about
Bang?
Yeah. Sit around morning at cast call. That was dreadful.
Yeah, it's badly written. It's badly set up.
Don't go see this.
The defense lawyer, however, was dreamy.
He was very cute.
I didn't like him when he cleaned up.
He's all right. He's still a soul patch.
Soul patch is the worst.
I'm kind of sad that Pat Boone didn't die in this movie.
Yeah,
you're expecting
a surprise.
Yeah,
he hears about the trial verdict on the radio. And does the most ridiculous little jig in his walker.
Oh, with his walker?
He does a walker dance.
Yeah.
I felt like if I was a person in a walker, I'd be offended at his
betrayal. I don't know, Byron.
You've been in a walker? No.
I can't even say it's embarrassing because at that point, there was no shame on any of those actors.
No, they all wanted to be in this.
They were awesome.
There was a point in the early 2000s when Pat Boone recorded that heavy metal album.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was cool.
Oh, right.
And funny.
He was wearing leather.
And relevant
and
for
a,
about
a stud choker.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he went back to the hardcore gay hating Anita Bryant style Christian.
Anti-everything.
You know. Wait.
Subtly anti-black.
Do you guys miss the old days when all you had to worry about was Anita Bryant?
Was there a point where all we had to worry about was Anita Bryant?
I remember Tammy Faye Baker was like that was the devil, and like everything, and it was just televangelists that were the problem. Yeah. And beyond that, like you didn't have just the constant barrage of this like mainstream fucking shit movie.
Well, that's because it was everywhere, so they didn't need to concentrate it and bring it up every once in a while because it was already pervasive.
And the only representative we had was Madeline Murray O'Hare.
And the Freedom From Religion Foundation has shown up. And I mean, this movie is like, look at how awful the Freedom From Religion Foundation is, which, by the way, they wouldn't have touched this case in a million years.
They wouldn't have touched this case.
No, she answered a student's question. She was not proselytizing. She was answering a student's question. It's clear she was being very careful.
A question, you say?
Yeah.
So let me take this from a semi-historical perspective, because my kid is homeschooled, and one of the things I have to look out very carefully in her homeschooling is that it's not a religious base, because that's where most homeschooling is about, it seems.
Yeah.
I want homeschooling evolution, not homeschooling creation. And so in history, we went through a period where we were teaching the story of Joseph, and we were teaching about Jesus, and I started to get a little bit apprehensive, like, what path are you leading down? And then they taught Muhammad, and then they taught, you know, all the others. It's like, oh, okay. And in that context, answer a question about Jesus. It's a historical, you know, whether he existed or not.
Yeah.
If there's a historical precedent for him.
Answer a question about Zeus.
Well, we did. Precisely.
Fine.
Yeah. So.
Well, here's what which shows the paucity of their arguments, especially evangelical. Thank you.
Yeah, nicely done.
Yeah, different vernacular and grammatical.
Such a big word.
Anyway. Oh, Molly. we're seeing time and again the hiddenness, the sneakiness of trying to get the Christian message into different things because it does not stand on its own merits in any form. So that's why we're getting the intelligent design, quote, end quote, into science classes like in Kansas until it's thrown out because they cannot stand up to reason. I ran into a young earth creationist at the end of the day as question man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he was completely impervious to any understanding of basic science, geology, anything. And this shit matters. When people believe what they see on the screen, it informs culture. It shapes thought. And this just reinforces the crap that a fourth of my family believes.
Except here's the problem we run into. We all kind of, on one level or another, feel it's our job to educate these people. And study after study after study has shown the more that we argue with them, the more we're going to entrench their beliefs, and the more we present a counter-argument, the more they're not just them, but people listening to us are going to take away the initial headline.
Their beliefs die with them.
But they take away even further that we are assholes. I mean, we've had this conversation before.
Fair.
It's Jesus, Mark Lazarchuk, who's an atheist, talks about how much he hates other atheists. And the reason he hates other atheists is because atheists confront Christians. And he's like, well, I was a Christian for years. Why are you doing this? And
which is hilarious because he confronts everybody about everything.
Yeah. but not about their Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he admits he's a hypocrite, so I allow it. And we talked about this last year, and it's true of this movie as well. These films are persecution porn.
Yeah.
They are made for Christians to make them feel like they are suffering the same. Because as a Christian, you can never, never be crucified. Jesus did it, and you can't. The days of martyrdom are over.
Is that a service we should offer for Christians?
How else are you going to be Christ-like?
Let me ask you a question, honestly, because I've been paying more attention to dog whistles because of the Trump campaign. Okay? And what he says, just asking questions and blah, 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 blah. And he's essentially preaching to those, wink, wink, here, what I'm really saying is this. This persecution that the Christian right is feeling, what is it really about? Is it just the loss of status? Is it just because the white man is no longer ascendant? Is there something else going on? You know? I think the entire right to life thing is a code for something. I just haven't figured out what the fuck it is.
The more you tighten your grip, the more systems will fall through your fingers.
Ooh, good pick on that one.
Well, I know.
Honestly, I keep going back to, and this is a drumbeat I've raised before, of power. It is a way to inflame emotions, and once you do that, you can guide people. This is just an extension of religious frameworks of controlling emotions.
So, is your idea that it's the religion that is the basis, or is it the cynical use of the, say, we'll say the Republican Party playing to the religious right base?
I think it's both.
I think both. They both think they're using the other.
Yeah.
Well, but what I find is instead of confronting, because I'm finding this the best thing is just to plant seeds. Because a lot of times I've seen that the argument, when you have an argument with a theist, it's how you deal with these people. You're not going to change that person's mind, but you can change people who watch. Mm-hmm. You can change people who listen by trying to appear the more reasonable.
That's how I feel about anti-vaxxers.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not going to change that person's mind,
yes.
Yeah. Anyone else who sees that thread, I'm posting links, I'm posting valuable information, I'm posting...
Right.
I mean, yeah. It's they're not the audience.
You're spreading
the
good news.
Yeah, they're not my audience. The anti-vaxxers aren't my audience, they're my stage.
Ooh.
Oh.
Like
I never loved
golf
clap.
Golf clap, sir.
Yeah, we've all had arguments on the internet where we have won by any measure.
Metric.
Oh, yeah.
Rhetorically,
let's
evidentiary.
Let's just keep getting moves.
And sometimes a brave and wonderful bystander will step in and say, dude, you won.
Yeah.
You lost.
Yeah, you're
and
done.
And they're obviously still impervious to that. But at least it makes me feel better.
I had a fight again with a 9/11 truther 2 days ago,
oh,
3 days
God.
Ago.
Dude.
And this
is this the same 9/11 truther, or do you just attract them?
No,
I attract them.
They're everywhere.
I attract them. Somebody tag me. What do you think about this, Ron
Valentine?
It's
literally because he's from Florida, and there's Florida people, and
but,
nightmares.
Oh shit! I got deep. Thank you for derailing. I lost where the fuck I was. I'll come back to this.
9/11 truther.
9/11 truther.
They contacted
you. Won.
No, there was
2 days ago.
I lost it. It's all right. I'll stop thinking about it.
Molly pointed out in the credits, they're rolling, like at the very end of the credits, they show a whole bunch of different cases where they say, what is it? They said, like, these are examples of how Christians being persecuted. We're under attack.
But winning.
But they won every single one.
Even though the movie didn't have anything necessarily homophobic in it, one of the cases they mentioned was a woman.
At least two, yeah.
Who refused service to a same-sex couple. And so, like, even if the subject of the movie isn't anti-gay, the overall message that they're saying that they represent is
that it's okay to be anti-gay.
They're saying it's okay to be anti-gay in the name of religion. They're saying that's protected.
That's just one ingredient in the whole shit stew of ideology that we see.
Anyone could watch that movie who isn't necessarily anti-religious or a-religious and be like, I guess it's a matter of differing opinions and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they're not bad people or whatever. But, like, they are bad people. Look at the credits. Like, look at the things that are the bad ideas they're supporting.
I wrote a whole thing here, just real quick. I wrote this song. Blue jean preacher, Christian teacher, fights for Jesus against the man. That's all I have. And then I have, people only question God when they're happy. Which was like a big message that they said that when you're happy and you don't have cancer, that's when you question God. And then when you realize you still have cancer and you're unhappy, that's when you're like, oh shit, God though, I bet.
It's like that there are no atheists in Foxhole.
Yeah.
I actually have a photo of myself in a Foxhole. Fucking wrong. I remember where I was with this 9/11 truther, just so it's not in my headspace anymore.
Yeah.
This guy goes, well, just why are there no investigations about how the towers fell? I'm like, no, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, right.
Never heard of a little group called the NIST. So I dropped the NIST thing, and then I go, oh, is that too biased for you? Popular Mechanics. Here's a little program from MIT.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Facts, right? And then he goes, oh, no, no, no. They're only talking about towers 1 and 2. That's why they fell down. They didn't discuss 7 at all.
Building 7.
I go, all right. So what you're saying to me is you'll accept that buildings 1 and 2 were struck and burnt, fell down by airplanes, but 7, they obviously coordinated and come up. And I laid it all out like that. And he goes, well, you're a sneaky arguer. No, dude. Facts.
That's just arguing.
I don't have to be sneaky. I don't have to be sneaky with an argument this dumb.
Yeah.
There's no sneakiness required.
But I want to.
That wasn't me being sneaky. That was just reality.
Yeah. I want to circle back to something you were saying, because I really have a problem with this, and it's another dog whistle that plays a lot. It is my religious right to discriminate against you because you're gay. Okay, let's set that aside for a second.
Sure.
Where in your book does that say it?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know what there's that one passage in Leviticus.
So you're saying is that I can own slaves.
Yeah, or shrimp cocktail is an abomination, motherfucker.
Right.
Are you going to cherry pick?
Because all jeans are cotton spandex.
The minute you do that, you run into do unto others.
Right. Well, that's
the thing. It's like Christians when they're talking about how great Jesus is, they pull out the golden rules if Jesus came up with it first, and they say,
is
well,
that the one
know,
where the card that's on the text that's on the card supersedes the text that's on the rules?
Yes. So
the golden rules.
So they say you know Jesus said do unto others. Jesus said do unto others, and then you've got somebody who's like, I'm not gonna have gay people living in my house. It's like, is that what literally? Literally, is that what Jesus would have done?
Literally
and
not.
When you pull out something absurd from the Old Testament, they say, oh, that's Old Testament, that's not Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for when they want to, except for when they want to cherry pick.
I like the pictures of the guys who have tattoos of that Leviticus thing
brilliant.
About homosexuality, but like literally the next thing is don't get tattoos.
somebody here in this group said something really interesting, because they said in the movie something about how Jesus was historically one of the most influential people of all time, and this group said specifically, no, wasn't it really Paul? Wasn't it really Saul of Tarsus? Because I had somebody one time say that, oh yeah, I like the Bible, but only the stuff written in red. Only the stuff that Jesus himself said. All the other stuff is just nonsense. It's just frippery. It's just the church. You know? And I know that's where your anger really lies, not so much.
I still say Norman Borlaug, but you know, whatever.
Say again, I'm sorry?
Norman Borlaug. For most important person that ever lived.
Billion people.
Just if only because there are so many more people because of that person's work, I think that that is then an exponential effect.
Are you saying that Jesus is anti-GMO?
Yes. Oh. Although, then again, loaves and fishes sounds awfully fishy.
I like that.
And what, there's some crazy...
Three loaves and fishes, please.
Yeah.
And what Tony said after I mentioned Paul is that if we assume Christianity is possibly the most influential source for modern society, which isn't terribly wrong, Western society,
yeah.
Then... it actually makes more sense to consider Constantine.
Emperor Constantine.
Yeah.
As the most influential human in the history of Western civilization, because he's the one that... Well, Constantine was the Roman emperor who converted to Christianity and normalized it.
Basically normalized it and turned it into a state-sponsored religion. And that's what it's been since, Council of Nicaea, 292, something like that.
Yeah.
So
it was Emperor Constantine. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't like this magic Christian faith somehow permeated all of the world. It's like,
it wasn't like a meme. Good idea didn't spread.
Yeah, it was at the point of an emperor's sword. And it's a great religion.
And it's fascinating because you've got one character in the movie who's talking about how there can't be a conspiracy because there are too many people involved.
Oh, my goodness.
And then you just sit there and you go, all right, well, if we analyze history, there's actually one guy involved, which is Constantine.
Yeah.
Maybe two guys, Paul and Constantine.
If you really want to get down to it, I've forgotten his name, it's the guy who actually collated the Bible and his translations. Because for the space of about 60 years there...
King James, right?
No. But yeah, all 1400 of those bastards couldn't get anything straight. And it's, by the way, it's Poisoner, not Witch. Anyway. But this one, he was in charge of collating the books. And for about 60 years, you'd have people, this is the orthodoxy. Anything against that, we will not only burn the books, we'll toss that author of those books on the pyre.
Yeah.
And then it switched 20 years later, so what was now the new orthodoxy. And it's fascinating how the Bible actually came about. And it basically boiled down to Constantine appointing one guy to finally put it all together, and I'll look up the name. But it is one guy.
If your book was heresy, they'd burn you on your own pile of books.
Yep.
So if you're someone like really prolific, you'd like burn faster.
Maybe.
But if you're a guy who only like made like 15 copies of your shitty critical book, you'd like just get scalded to death really slowly.
Second degree burn.
Out of those heresies came the Coptics, the Gnostics, and all sorts of things came out.
What was the ruling on the Judas Bible or Judas Gospels that?
Oh, the Judas Gospels. This is still highly in contention. Are they accurate? I really don't know.
And wasn't there a female gospel that was discovered recently?
There's over 150 early church gospels that never quite made it into the hit list, and that's not including the Apocrypha through the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
okay. It goes on and on.
It goes on.
So we need to wrap it up. It's late. We all have a big day at the Renaissance Festival tomorrow.
You can't huzzah here.
Just, but I'll give everybody just a quick hit opportunity to give your final one or two minor quick thoughts. Let's start this time with Molly. Molly, final quick thought.
Jesus cured my cancer.
Jesus cures cancer.
Nick. God's not dead, but if he had to sit through that movie, he'd wish he was.
Yeah. I don't know. My final thought is much along Nick's line. I just, if God is really guiding these people, I feel like he'd guide them to make better movies.
Yeah.
God's really, a shitty producer.
Yeah, God is a shitty producer.
One, I hate this film, but two, I brought this up before, attributed to an Auschwitz survivor. If God exists, he needs to beg my forgiveness.
Yeah.
And he should beg my forgiveness for this fucking film.
Yeah.
What's the name of the band? The
Newsboys.
The Jesus Boy Band. If I should ever find myself at one of their concerts, I pray to the God I do not believe in that I have a gun to blow my own fucking brains out.
Oh, I'll take you out.
Thank you.
I must really like you guys, and you too, dear listeners, because I certainly wasn't here tonight for the movie.
Right on.
Nice.
Well done.
I wasn't
well
even
done.
Here tonight for the movie, and I live here.
And with that, dear listeners, we are going to call it quits. We are going to remind you, please support us on Patreon, because if you do, you can possibly at some point force us to do things even worse than watching this movie. And I know that it sounds, after we've talked, like that's not possible, but really, I think it probably is. There is a Newsboys concert coming up in the Twin Cities.
Oh, no.
This I will fall. Pay for you to
and
go.
Maybe if we could reach that $100 goal before the concert, because I'm pretty sure it's not going to be sold out.
I bet if we wrote an essay that was like, send atheists to the Newsboys and like convert us with your music, I bet they'd give us tickets. Yeah,
you know what? I wish I was here. I would go. I would pay money to go with a bright red atheist shirt.
Yeah.
Can I
show the Newsboys my tits?
And with little atheist written on each one.
So folks, I'm just saying, Patreon, support Geeks Without God, maybe. One of the things that can happen is you could make us go see the Newsboys. That's something.
Shut up, I'm contributing. I'm in.
It's on the table, ladies and gentlemen. As for the rest of you who are not interested in that horrible, horrible dare.
I don't feel the need to suffer for my faith.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Spread the good news.
Here's how you play the God's Not Dead 2 drinking game. Don't start the movie until you're drunk.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
God is not dead, he's surely alive.
Oh my God, thank you guys for coming over.